This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Hour number two of the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. George Sedano in for Max. All our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Feel free to hop aboard, hang out with us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to get to the Clippers' big win in extending the Western Conference Finals to a sixth game, coming back to L.A. tomorrow night. In just a moment, we'll get into some NFL news and notes, including a couple of QBs talking some stuff. We'll get to that in about 20 minutes or so. But real quick, before I get into Scottie Pippen and what transpired yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show. So it looks like Serena Williams is bowing out of Wimbledon. I didn't get a chance to see exactly what happened, but Nuno, I know you were watching it. Does it seem like it's injury related?
Yeah, all of a sudden, like, she just was slowed up and hobbled and then just started crying on the court.
Oh, man. And I saw her waving to the crowd, so maybe that maybe something happened to her. So we'll keep you up to date. If we find out what the details are, we'll certainly pass them your way. Speaking of details, so I feel like in any conversation, in any relationship, the devil's in the details. And this past summer, or the previous summer of 2020, we were all dealing with a pandemic. We were all at home. And many millions and millions and millions and millions of people watched The Last Dance. Watched it live. Watched it on the ESPN app. Watched it on Netflix. Watch it wherever. And in that documentary, it certainly, I felt, made Michael Jordan look good for the most part. Now, there were some moments where I feel like he was okay with the mythology of him being a jerk. And he was okay with that, because it's just part of who he is. But in that documentary, I don't feel like Scottie Pippen felt good about the way he was portrayed in a lot of ways. And I think what ended up happening was you have a situation with Scottie where he was vocal about that. He didn't love how he was portrayed, and he said, I'm going to come out with my own thing. And he's writing a book, or he wrote a book, and he's on the book tour right now. And a lot of dirty laundry is coming out, or at least some accusations of some pretty serious stuff. So Scottie was on the Dan Patrick Show, and DP asked him about that shot when Michael was gone. In 1994, where Tony Kukoc, the shot was drawn up for him, and we all know the story now, how Scottie, even if you were young and weren't around back then, how Scottie sat out. It's like, nope, shot's not for me, I'm not going in. And the exchange went like this from the Dan Patrick Show. Let's listen.
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil
right,
a racist.
Pause it 1 second, guys. Pause it 1 second. My bad. I didn't know where that started. So, in that conversation about the shot, Scottie implied, at least initially, that it could have been racially motivated. So, my bad on that. I wanted to make sure that we got it right. Go ahead. Now play it.
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember Phil Jackson left the Lakers, went, wrote a book on Kobe Bryant, and then came back and coached him? I mean, who would do that? You name someone in professional sports that would do that, you know? I think he tried to expose Kobe in a way that he shouldn't have. You're the head coach, and you're the guy that sits in the locker room and tells the players, this is a circle. And everything stays within the circle because that's what team is about. But you as the head coach open it up, and now you go out and you try to belittle, at that time, probably one of the greatest players in the game.
So let's try to dissect this from a human perspective, okay? As I mentioned earlier, Scottie didn't love his portrayal in that documentary. He's writing his book to tell his truth. I am not going to tell another man that what he perceived isn't what he believes, okay? So I'm not doing that. That's not my place, okay? I am not going to tell, especially a black man, I am not going to tell that man, hey, what you believe is racist or racism, I'm not going to tell you that's not what it is, because if that's what he believes, I'm not going to change his mind, okay? However, they are big accusations to make. Now, to unpack some of what Scotty said here, did I like back then that Phil Jackson wrote that book about Kobe Bryant and said the stuff he said about him? The media person in me selfishly was like, whoa, this is good content. But the human was like, yeah. I mean, I guess he's never going to coach again because this is kind of the reality of what he's putting out there. Now, let's fast forward. Kobe Bryant not only hashed things out with Phil and clearly forgave him, right? They worked well together. Even when Phil was gone, Kobe's relationship with Phil, to my knowledge, was still very good. Now, I am a believer of you judge people on your own individual relationship with them, okay? On their own individual merit. So there could be a guy, let's say Raj. I'll use you as an example. People can say, Raj is the greatest guy in the world. And I'll be like, I don't know, Raj is kind of a jerk to me, you know, one time. I don't know if Raj is so nice.
I believe with the former. I'll go with the former.
So, but you get my point? Like, sure. I judge people on my own interaction. And maybe Scotty's interaction with Phil was different than it was with Michael or with Horace or with Rodman or with anybody, for that matter. Cartwright, you know, any of the other black players on the team. I don't know what that relationship was like. So I'm not going to sit here and rip Scottie Pippen for something that he believes in his heart and in his mind. But what I will say is, this is not the end of this. Phil Jackson has one of two ways to respond. Either he sits back in some teepee somewhere, you know, in Montana, and probably smoking something, and sitting there and just laughs about it and doesn't even respond. Or, as Scotty alluded to in that book he wrote where he ripped Kobe, Phil could have his say on this situation. And the problem with that, if you're Scotty, is there's going to be two sides to that story. And then what's going to happen is there may be more than two sides to that story. Because don't you think Michael Jordan is probably going to get asked about this? Yeah. Now, Michael Jordan's very private these days, despite being an owner in the NBA and still being in your commercials occasionally for Nike. But somebody is going to track down Michael Jordan somewhere and ask him about this. That's how this works. So this is part to me that is concerning, is that this will now take on a life of its own, specifically if Michael and Phil, most importantly, comment about this. So this is not over by any stretch of the imagination. And look, I've worked with Scottie Pippen here at ESPN. I like Scottie Pippen. And I'm not going to sit here, as I said, I'll say it for the third time, I am not going to tell another man, especially a black man, how he should feel about race or racism. It's not my place. If he believes it, so be it. But all that will eventually get sorted out amongst that group. But they are big, big accusations to make. So we'll see how that unfolds. There's no hot take here. Sorry. Like, I don't have one because there isn't one. This is real life stuff now. This isn't about, you know, Scottie Pippen, is he the greatest number two player ever to play on an NBA team? That's not this. This is real. So we're going to see how real it's going to get. And maybe it doesn't. Maybe that this just ends here. But I am curious to see how it unfolds. I hope it actually does end. So we can just move on. Because we always move on to something else anyway. But I don't believe that to be the case. Because if someone said I was a racist, I would want to defend myself. So, I guess your move, Phil. Speaking of moves, a lot of moves yesterday by Paul George. Paul George was incredible. He might have had the single greatest playoff performance of his entire career yesterday. And when you think about in a historical context what that man did last night and what he's done here most recently, you got to give that man at least a little bit, a modicum of respect. You got to give him something. You can't sit here, because this is how life works, okay? It's funny, because a lot of people get in a lot of jokes on Paul George. They do. You see it. I see it. He definitely sees it. And he was asked front and center about that yesterday. Do you see the criticism? Do you see the jokes? Do you see all the stuff people say about you? And, you know, does it bother you? Does it get to you? Do you, you know, how do you feel about all this stuff? And here's how he responded in the postgame.
I do. And it's the honest truth. It's a fact. But I can't worry about that. It comes with the job, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I still try to go and dominate whether I'm shooting the ball well or not shooting the ball well. I still try to dominate just the whole game in general. To me, it doesn't come down to just scoring.
And dominate he did. First player in NBA history to score 40-plus points on at least 75, 50, and 100 from the field, three-point line, and free throw line. Guy is averaging 30, 11, and 6 since Kawhi went down. He's played more minutes than anybody in this postseason. 735 minutes. Next highest is the man who'll be playing tonight on a bum ankle, Trae Young. Hopefully Trae Young can go. And here's this for history. This was tweeted out literally last night by at NBA History, the official NBA History Twitter account. He's put up 20-plus points in all 18 playoff games so far. The only other players in NBA history to score at least 20 in their first 18 games in a single playoff are Michael Jordan, who did it three times, 92, 97, 98, Kobe Bean Bryant in 2008, may he rest in peace, and Kevin Durant, 2012, 2018. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that Paul George is Kevin Durant. Certainly not trying to tell you he's Kobe Bryant, nor Michael Jordan. But facing elimination on the road, Paul George put up 41 points on 20 shots. That's insane. That man put up a masterpiece yesterday, and he deserves credit. Just like you got the anonymity. Because here's the thing, on social media, to get back to that, when he said that he sees all the stuff and he hears all the stuff, that's only human nature. If you're talked about that much, it's kind of hard to not see it when you're trending on Twitter in the first quarter because you've missed your first six shots. That's the world he lives in. Just try to be empathetic for one second. Empathy, right? Like, try to put yourself in someone else's shoes. For a second. Okay? I'm not trying to tell you to be a Paul George fan or a Clipper fan or whatever. I'm just telling you, for one single moment, be empathetic. Put yourself in his shoes. Imagine you are Joe. You are Joe. I'm gonna make you Hispanic too. Joe Rodriguez, okay? You are Joe Rodriguez. You are a baller. And you are a celebrity of sorts because you're a baller and an athlete, and you having a rough patch. You know, things have gone south for you. And every time that happens, you are trending on social media. And your friends see it, and your parents see it, your colleagues see it. That's a lot of pressure, man. That's a lot of pressure, okay? I'm just some schlub who works on radio and television at this company. And even I've done a much better job of tuning it out as opposed to 5, 6, 7 years ago. But I don't get that. You know what I'm saying? Like what he gets. So, again, if you're going to put out the jokes, and I tweeted this yesterday, and it's funny, the responses I get. I got ratioed yesterday, like the kids like to say. I can say that because I'm a 43-year-old man now, like the kids like to say. I said it, I tweeted this out yesterday at Sedano. In an elimination game, Paul George put up 41, 13, and 6 with 3 steals on 15 to 20 shooting. You guys are going to have to put your jokes back in your Twitter drafts for the night. Now, here's the thing. You could put your Twitter jokes back. What you could do is how about you say, yo, I'm going to tip my cap to Paul George. Is it that hard to do that? Is it really that hard to just be nice? Even for someone that is, and I get sports hate, man. Like, I'm okay with it in the right context. He's your rival. You don't like him as a player. He beat you. He hit a shot against you. Whatever. Whatever it is. I get that within that context. But part of being a good sport and loving sports is also saying sometimes the other guy was better or the other girl was better. And Paul George was better yesterday. So being nice to someone, all it takes sometimes is being like tweeting out if you're Joe Blow and just be like, yo, shout out to Paul George. I don't like him, but he was good yesterday. Why can't we just be nice? why is it so hard to do that? I don't get it. I don't get why it's so hard to do that. I do feel like he deserves at least that. At least the credit and his flowers for one day. And they probably won't win this series. I don't think so. I picked the Suns in 7. But I think Paul George has done more for himself this postseason without Kawhi than anything he may have done previously. I made the comment last hour. He wasn't pandemic P yesterday, as you guys like to say on social media. He may or may not have been playoff P, but he was definitely Pacer P yesterday, or even better than that. Because when he was with the Pacers, that kid was a baller. And we were sitting here wondering, is he going to be the guy moving forward that we're going to look at and go, man, that guy is a legit top 10 superstar. Now, maybe or maybe not. Maybe he would have turned into that had he not busted his leg, had things just not gone south for him. But I also think that all this stuff will make him a better player and will make him stronger mentally, because the mental battles, those things are real, man. I don't know about you. I'm not trying to get super duper personal because, you know, I'm only on here to fill in for Max, but I've been there. I've had panic attacks. I'm not saying that's what Paul's had, but I'm saying I've been there. The anxiety level is that high where you're like, you're freaking out. So just cut the dude some slack is all I'm saying. Like, it's okay to be nice once in a while, even if you don't like someone. Let me go to Mitch here. What's up, Mitch?
Talk to you.
Yeah, bud. What's up?
Sorry, I work at double. I won't try tonight. That'd be too much of a Mitch from Jersey. I'm just saying, yeah, I hope they do win. They should have won the series. They've got 4-1. The series has been going home. They can pull through. The team is so cursed. I know nobody will sweat a tear. Maybe you might sweat a tear at George, but you could be honest with me. I cannot believe the old injuries they have. And when I heard Zubac, I really gave up, but they came through. I'm hoping Scrub can get in there. I think that guy's got talent. And two things. Can they sign? They got to re-sign Kawhi Leonard long-term, no matter what. And could they get in? Do they have a chance to get Damon Lillard? Because they really need a true point guard.
All right, Mitch, I'll answer those questions on the other side for you. If you want to hop aboard, I know there's some phone lines open. I know there's some people on hold. I'll get to you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This segment, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Goodyear. Helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We'll continue this discussion. Am I asking too much to just be nice occasionally? And it doesn't have to just be Paul George, just people. We just ridicule these people, man, and we forget they're human beings. And they see the stuff you post. Maybe not yours every single night, but eventually the masses we get this mob mentality, man. Just be nice once in a while. All right, we'll take more of your calls. Plus, some QBs making some bold statements. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. It's time for some straight talk. We've been here, of course, been all there. We've all been there. You've got some real work to do, but then the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. Well, it's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good, folks. Well, now you can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's unlimited plan, the ultimate unlimited plan. Straight Talk's ultimate unlimited plan. You get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest and most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com for details. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus continues. George Sedano in for Max today. Max will be back tomorrow and Thursday, and then I'll be back on Friday to get you into your weekend. We're going to get to your calls here in a second at 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, just to answer the last caller's question, Mitch in New Jersey, about the Clippers and what the Clippers can do, the Clippers don't have a lot of maneuverability in the offseason. And by the way, neither do the Lakers in Los Angeles. Now, the Lakers are going to look to make moves. They're going to have some cooperation with Dennis Schroeder on a sign and trade, but what can Dennis Schroeder really net you? As far as the Clippers, I mean, their main priority should just be re-signing Kawhi. And then beyond that, you're just going to have to get better on the margins, I believe. You know, perhaps you re-sign Reggie Jackson because you feel confident that he can be this guy moving forward. But it's either on the margins or guys that are already on this roster. And look, when they lost Kawhi and Zubats, and I know you can laugh about Zubats, but Zubats was balling, man. He was like 13 and 12 in this series, handling or doing his best to handle DeAndre Ayton. He was excellent defending the pick and roll in this series thus far. He's a big part of what they do for 20 to 25 minutes. They've got some nice young players. Terrence Mann, is there growth there? But again, I just don't see how much they can really put on themselves as far as acquiring big talent, unless you're going to trade Paul George. Like, that's really the only thing. So, but tonight we got Giannis looking to make a statement, validating his decision. A lot of naysayers, including myself, were like, yo, do you really want to lock yourself in to Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton? Well, he may get the last laugh because he's the favorite right now to win the chip. So let's go to Lewis in South Carolina who wants to talk about Giannis. Lewis, what's up?
Hey, I was thinking that Giannis doesn't need to win to be validated, and there's more of a problem with Bud because as a coach, he's been a regular season coach and he couldn't get past the conference finals. And if they win a chip this year, it would validate Coach Bud more than Giannis staying in Milwaukee because the money and the situation seemed good other than the coach. And I think most players would have stayed in Milwaukee.
Yeah, look, Bud has certainly been a guy, and thank you for the call, Lewis, that has been the target of a lot of criticism, and I think deservedly so because of the lack of adjustments, et cetera, et cetera. But he's there now, and he's a little stubborn at times. But he's a good coach. We'll see if they're able to get through despite his occasional stubbornness. Let me go to Andre. Andre in Massachusetts wants to talk about Scotty and Phil. What's up, Andre?
What's going on? Thanks for taking the call. Listen, we know that Scotty has the book, Unguarded, that he's pushing and he wants people to tune into, chime into. But I don't understand why he had to take it to this level with Phil Jackson. We know the Zen master. He obviously has certain tactics and strategies, that may not be, orthodox. But we also know that after, he writes the book in 24, about Kobe, goes, spends some time in the Indian Ocean, gets his mind right. Then they come back in L.A. and they win two more championships. Could have been three if they might have had Andrew Bynum in 08. And so, to call Phil Jackson, playing for the New York Knicks in the early 70s, winning those championships with Willis Reed and Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, to say that he's racist, among other things, I just think that's a bridge too far. We see in the scope of history, unfortunately, that what looks pristine and perfect. You know, that Bulls team, those were my team in the 90s, those three championships, those three-peats in the beginning and the end of the 90s. But then you take 20 years and people, you know, they're at each other's throats. And that's perplexing and disappointing, you know, in and of itself. But just the whole racist moniker for Phil Jackson, somebody that has roots in the you know, New York City, you know, I just can't go there. He's a lot of different things. We know his clashes with management in different places. You know, he's a certain individual, but he's not racist. And so I think Scotty should backtrack on that. Thanks for the time.
Andre, thank you for the call. I mean, I'm not going to say he is or isn't because I don't know him. So I can't say that. I can't say something about definitively about someone I don't know. So, and again, I'm not going to tell Scottie Pippen how he should feel. So I'm not doing that. But as I said earlier, we'll find out what the deal is because someone's going to find Michael Jordan and ask him about this. Someone is going to find Phil and ask him about this. And maybe Phil will no comment it and it'll go away and because he doesn't care because he may feel like Scottie feels a certain way. And he's not going to get into that, you know, back and forth with him. But those guys are going to be asked. All those guys on that team are going to be asked. I don't think there's any question. And there's going to be another moment about this particular subject matter. We'll just have to wait to see it unfold because, you know, I don't have a take here. There's no take on this. All right, look, here's the deal. I promised NFL. Let's save the NFL for the other side. Can we do that? Let's just break on time. I don't want to ruin the clock, okay? I don't want to freak Connor out. I don't want to freak Nuno out. I don't want to freak Raj out. I got a lot of big NFL stuff. I got Cam Newton for you. I got some Raiders stuff for you. And what else do I got in there, Raj? Scroll back real quick. I know I had one more. One more NFL tidbit. What was the other? Scroll down. There we go. Kyler Murray saying don't sleep on one of his teammates. We'll tell you who in just a moment. Stick around. But first, let me tell you about ESPN Radio. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. We'll get into our NFL tidbits to wrap up the show. It's the Max Kellerman Show. George Sedano in for Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max. So I was talking about Elton John during the break. And by the way, look, anyone who's been listening to sports talk radio for a while knows that sometimes the best conversations happen in the break. You're not always privy to them, but in this one, I will let you behind the curtain a little bit. I was talking about, because I got an email from the Dodgers that Elton John's farewell tour, which was postponed because of COVID. I did get to see him actually play at the Forum in Los Angeles. It's an iconic place. Obviously, the Lakers won a bunch of championships there. It's a great concert venue. James Dolan, interestingly enough, or Madison Square Garden, own that building now. And I saw him there. My wife wanted to go. I went, Raj. It was fun. I wasn't a huge, huge Elton John guy, but, I mean, I know the songs. And it was a blast. That dude was 73 years old. His energy was incredible. He had more energy than you and me combined. It was crazy.
I can't see it. Yeah, you asked me if I was going. I thought you were just kind of being funny, you know, being, I was like, no, I ain't going. I don't see it. But I did tell you who I am going to go see in October at the Hollywood Bowl. Some Daryl Hall and John Oates. Now you can get me there.
I would not have pegged you as a Hall and Oates guy.
Oh, but you pegged me as an Elton John guy?
No. But I know that you are a music savant. So like, sure. You know, I know you love music. So I would have thought maybe Elton John just out of respect, you know. But, you know, I ain't mad at you for Hall & Oates. Now, you also have the mustache.
Bands. They got some. Oh, you know, I still rock the 80s, Russ and the mustache.
I know. Day. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, is that Oates with the mustache or Hall?
Well, Oates usually, but didn't they both rock them at a time?
They did for a minute, but the guy with the – I believe it's Oates who had the mustache.
The shorter guy, right?
Yeah,
The dark hair, yeah.
Yeah. So, about that. Yeah, look, I ain't mad at you for Hall & Oates, but Elton John is resuming his tour, and his final concerts will be at Dodger Stadium. Because
how many times is he going to say goodbye?
I mean, the man's concert was postponed. The tour was postponed because of COVID. Now, I already said goodbye, but I may say goodbye again because one of his old school most famous concerts was at Dodger Stadium. So that's why he wants to finish at Dodger Stadium. So I get that. It's a great venue. Okay. Yeah. So,
all right.
Anyway, All right, let's do some football here on the way out. Let's do some football here. We got some news and notes. Also, real quick, sorry, speaking of news and notes, I mentioned Serena earlier bowed out of Wimbledon. She withdrew with an injury after slipping on center court in the first set. So that's the deal with that. But let's get to the football talk. So Cam Newton says he feeds off the haters. Now, it's funny because we've spent a lot of the time today talking about Paul George and how Paul George is trying to kind of let that stuff manifest itself and trying to overcome some of those things. Now, Cam Newton's been hated for a long time for a number of different reasons. Now, here's the challenge for Cam Newton. And I have been a Cam Newton fan. I was back on ESPN Radio back in the day and you know, was calling for his MVP season when people thought I was crazy. But, you know, Father Time is undefeated. And Cam Newton puts himself, Raj, and you know this because I know you love football and you're a big fantasy football guy. Cam Newton has put his body through a lot over the years. And even though I do think another year in the Belichick system will help him, I just don't know if Cam can be Cam anymore.
Man, there were seasons going back. He's taking more hits than some running backs. And this was a stat long time ago when he was putting up those numbers. You were saying, like, guys, you can't keep doing that. But I've been arguing with Keyshawn about this for years. Not just Belichick. It's been a minute since Cam has been good. You get him in third and passing, it's a wrap. You might as well bring out the punter. He's just not the same. And then Belichick is using him. The only way he's effective is running, taking more hits, which makes him less of a quarterback. I'm not buying it. It's not just the Bill Belichick system. I think it's been just him and his body just giving up on him.
Now, I agree with you. Now, look, he put up a good completion percentage last year, 66%. He did have COVID, right? He missed the game, and you know, maybe coming from that was a challenge. We've seen some guys, like Jason Tatum, talk about some of those struggles. So perhaps that had something to do with it. I'd love to see Cam and the Redemption Tour. He's only 31, 32 years old. But, man, the punishment he's taken over the years, that's a lot to deal with. So we'll see. Yeah. Speaking of the quarterback position, Derek Carr. Now, I like Derek Carr. I've met Derek Carr at ESPN many years ago when he was drafted. He's a nice young man. I think he was a very good quarterback in college. I think he's a good quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's great, but he's good. You can win games with Derek Carr.
Sure.
But Derek Carr is smart in this regard, Raj. He's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. About a month or so ago, okay, he went out there and, you know, talked about how he wants to be a Raider for life and he loves the Raider fans, this, that, and the other, which is smart because, let's face it, he's now been with Gruden for 3 years and, you know, Gruden's going to have to put up wins at some point, okay? And if it's going to be Gruden or the quarterback, it's going to be self-preservation. Gruden's going to be like, all right, Derek Carr, peace out. So Derek Carr recently said that he wouldn't mind playing with Devontae Adams again. Now, thank you. I'm sure Derek Carr, every quarterback in the league would love to play with Devontae Adams. But here's why I think it's smart, Raj. Number one, because I already told you how he plays chess when everyone else plays checkers as far as the narrative is concerned. But two things can happen here. Either Aaron gets traded, which I don't think is likely this season, but still a possibility next season. Maybe Derek says, hey, you can trade me to Green Bay if Aaron is willing to come to Las Vegas. Or if Aaron gets moved, Devontae may be like, I don't know, maybe I don't want to play with another quarterback, but he knows Derek and he's tight with Derek. And Derek can get a guy to play with him and Ruggs and all those dudes and Josh Jacobs in Las Vegas. So he is playing chess while everyone's playing checkers.
That's right. He might be taking some notes from LeBron. A very calculated quote. And real quick, on you might as well trade away and get Aaron Rodgers if you're Oakland, because you'll take a bunch of first-round picks. And Gruden and Mayock can't waste them as they've been doing recently with those ridiculous reaches they've been doing in the first round. Save yourselves.
They have been reaching. They try to be the smartest man in the room, and it has not worked out to this point. Okay? We'll see with Ruggs. We'll see if he's good. Cleveland Farrell, only 6.5 sacks. In two seasons, Josh Jacobs, you know, has been fantastic. But some of these other first-round picks have been questionable to this point. Whew. And then lastly, you're a fantasy football guy. Kyler Murray, who's my keeper fantasy league quarterback, by the way, says people are sleeping on A.J. Green. A.J. Green, formerly of the Bengals, and his injuries. He thinks he's going to have a big year. You're the fantasy football guru around here. Are we sleeping on A.J. Green?
Let me tell you the reason why we're sleeping on AJ Green, because he's been asleep since 2015. He's had 1,000-yard season. That was way back in 2017. He's had only had one double-digit touchdown year. That was in 2015. Dog, it's been a long time since AJ Green been woke.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I hope for AJ Green's sake that's the case, and for Kyler's sake. That's the best division in football, that NFC West, man. All right, we're done here. Thanks to Raj. Thanks to Nuno. Thanks to Connor. Thanks to Brian Windhorst for joining us. Max will be back tomorrow. I'll be back on Friday. Talk to you then. Have a great day.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.